Janasalakaya. Chakshu Samilitan Zena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Zena Bhutale. Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam. We heard yesterday how Krishna visited the house of the king, Mahalasva, and the king was filled. His heart was filled with what? Does anyone remember? Joy. And his eyes were filled with tears. And he had the fortune of massaging the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he offered some words of praise, some prayers to Krishna. And we'll go over those. There's only six of them. And they give a very specific message. First, he says, O Almighty Lord. So the Almighty Lord was right there in his house, in his palace. You are the soul of all created beings. You give life to everyone. You are their self-illuminated witness. And now, you are giving audience to us. You are giving us your darshan. To us, you are allowing us to be in your presence, to see you. And what have we done? And we who constantly meditate on your lotus feet. Very important. Such seriousness, intention of purpose, always meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates by being in the presence of such a person. Neither Ananta goddess Sri nor unborn Brahma is dear to me than my unalloyed devotees, quoting from the 11th canto. To prove your own words true, you have now revealed yourself to our eyes. Of course, the exalted personalities who are mentioned, Balaram, Lakshmi Devi, or Brahma, they're also devotees, unalloyed devotees, but they have other relationships in relationship to Krishna, and sometimes they appear prominent. So the devotional part is always accepted, and no one, Krishna is said, or Bahulasva is saying here, is dearer to me than my pure devotees. And by nature, the pure devotees are always enwrapped in thoughts of Krishna. It's completely natural for them because they are devotees. They are devoted. They have bhakti towards Krishna. And this is their relationship. They have bhakti to Krishna, and Krishna is bhaktivatsal. He loves them, stays with them, and does not part from them. So he continues. So it's not just he's the Lord, and our business is just to give everything to him, and unless we do that, there's so much suffering and misery. No, it is a relationship. It is reciprocal. And Krishna giving himself to his devotees means the Almighty Lord is giving himself to his devotees. Suridam savabhutanam shantirmam yadvamam shantim richati. If we actually know this, which is the subject of the next words offered by Bahulasva, what person who knows this truth, knowing this, who would ever abandon your lotus feet when you are ready to give your very self to peaceful sages who call nothing their own? Only your feet are theirs. They have no possession. And what we think is our possession in this material world, and we hold on to those things other than Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, which the devotee keeps always in his heart, always in his consciousness. What is the value of those other things when we think about it? We will lose them in time. We must lose them. They will be crushed to dust by time. And therefore, they are called asat, defined as illusory. And our life tends to try to organize and manipulate and possess things that are like smoke. They have no true existence. And therefore, frustration and ultimately such disappointment must come to a person in this consciousness. But knowing this about Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees, you hold on to something in the material world, and when you really need it, it turns into smoke. You really need to, when we die, we hold on to so many things, pashanapina pashyati. We hold on to our credit cards, our family members, our whatever it is, that we find our security in, and it turns into what it truly is illusory. Smoke. It vanishes before our eyes. It turns into a big zero. But on the other hand, Krishna personally considers those who become his pure devotee, in other words, unalloyed devotee, in other words, those who are focused on him. He, not only is he dear to them, but they are dear to him. And he is Sarvaloka Maheshwara, Suridam Sarvabhutanam Surit, so close to the heart. So therefore, knowing this, who could give up the lotus feet of Krishna? And then he describes two additional prayers, and the last one where he glorifies Krishna. You have spread your glories, or three actually. You have spread your glories. So the question is then, well, yes, I want to become a devotee of Krishna, a real devotee of Krishna, and really keep the lotus feet of Krishna always in my heart. And devotion is the only way to do that. It's completely natural again. It's natural if one is actually a devotee, has devotion for Krishna. So how to accomplish that? How to do that? Or rather, what is our part in that becoming devotees? And the next verse, he explains that very explicitly. Appearing in the Yadu dynasty, you have spread your glories. In other words, Krishna's glorious activities, which can remove all the sins of the three worlds. So you have spread your glories, you perform your activities. There are other purposes too why he does this, but specifically just to deliver those entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. They are the lifesaver thrown into the ocean of the material world. The boat of Krishna's lotus feet throw the lifesaver of Krishna's pastimes for us to hear. And the holy name of Krishna, which Krishna's pastimes, they offer us his holy name also. And then by holding on to this, by giving oral reception, it enters our heart. And we hear about Krishna's qualities, his activities, his dealing with his devotees. We become attracted to Krishna. And then he offers his obeisances to Krishna, whose intelligence is ever unrestricted, obeisances to the sage Naranarayan, who always undergoes austerities and perfect peace, and then please stay for a few days in my house and purify us and the whole kingdom. It's about relationship with Krishna and Krishna's relationship with the devotee and how to develop that by hearing. By hearing about Krishna, that's the Bhagavatam. Puranako dinoditaha karo nastadrishamesha. The darkness of Kali which fills our heart with so many smoke-like desires. Only if this, if only I had that, and if only this, and only that, and only this, and only that. If only I could run again, if only I had hair again, if only I was strong again, if only my teeth weren't falling out. And in this way, with these kind of desires, and this especially happens when we become old, we look at the youth and the young, and they're attractive, and they can do so many things. And then it comes to our hearts, too, these desires. Oh, if only I could do that again, if only I could do that again, if only I knew Sanskrit, if only I could play the harmonium, if only I could sing. And in this way, by placing all these intermediary desires in my heart, I'm preparing, these are planting seeds for my next birth. So we really want to just cut all the intermediate desires, even if they are meant for Krishna's service, and just say, if only I had the lotus feet of Krishna in my heart, only if I was a real devotee, the real thing, a devotee, devoted to Krishna and his devotees, if only if I had true bhakti, if only I had devotion for Giriraj, the dust of Vrindavan, for Krishna's pastimes, only if I had a taste for hearing Krishna's pastimes. So he finished his prayers, and Krishna indeed stayed. So then, simultaneously, while Krishna was with Bahulasva, the Supreme Lord, Shrutadev came, or Shrutadev rather. Shrutadev at the same time, because that's something to consider, that so many persons, devotees of different qualities, are praying to Krishna simultaneously, please do this, please do this, please do this, please do that, please come to my house, please come to my house. And Krishna has the power to do them all simultaneously. He is all-powerful, unrestricted intelligence, and he could satisfy everyone at the same time. And we have the capacity, because we tend to think of ourselves as the center and have everything based on us, but we have the capacity to keep everyone unsatisfied all at the same time. But he can actually satisfy everyone. So Shrutadev's welcome of Krishna was exactly the same as Bahulasva's, but exactly different at the same time. So Shrutadev, this is text 38. Shrutadev received Lord Achyuta in his home with as much enthusiasm as shown by King Bahulasva. His eagerness was the same. And after bowing down to the Lord and the sages, Shrutadev began to dance with great joy. And he took his shudder and he waved it in the air just spontaneously out of joy, because his heart was dancing and therefore his body was dancing and his soul was dancing. His chatur was dancing because his heart was dancing, because Krishna, his beloved Lord, who he also had been thinking about, had come to his house with his devotees. He too had, Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami said, had tears in his eyes and his heart filled with joy. Then, after bringing mats of grass and darbastra, do you remember how Bahulasva had greeted Krishna and the devotees with golden thrones, practically speaking. And he, this poor Brahmana, could offer just straw mats, asanas, and he sat his guests upon them because that was his external capacity. Internally equal in joy and devotion, externally quite different. He greeted them with words of welcome. Then he and his wife washed their feet with great pleasure. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that even those mats he didn't have in his own home. He had to borrow them from the neighbors. He was so poor. And with the water that had washed his feet, the washed water, the virtuous Shrutadev copiously, generously sprinkled himself, his house, and his family with that water. And overjoyed, he felt that all his desires had now been fulfilled. But how about the golden thrones and this and that, and I want to be bigger and I want to have wealth and all the things that I didn't have in my life? Having those things is not the way to have our desires fulfilled. The Bhagavad Gita describes the pouring of putting a fuel on the fire as the mode of passion way to try to satisfy our desires. And the result of putting fuel on the fire or ghee on the fire is not that the fire is satisfied and says, thank you very much, I've had enough ghee right now. No, rather the fire just grows. Our desires just grow. And grow and grow and grow. The more we try to satisfy our desires. And then simultaneously our frustration as our desires grow, our capacity to satisfy our desires doesn't grow exponentially like our desires. So our frustration increases too. So therefore, the devotee even, or everyone, is not meant to just become consumers and desire to get more and consume and consume and purchase and buy and gain and take and more things, but rather to live a simple life. And when the heart is filled with Krishna, then only satisfaction comes. And again, I've mentioned this before, but Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that when one accepts that no situation in the material world, even if I had it all, everything, my own helicopter that drives me to my own jet plane, which drives me to my own country, or whatever, no matter what, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if I accept that there is no situation at all in the material world that can make me happy, I've taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life. That means, even in spiritual life, we tend to take steps forward, we're walking forward, but at the same time, we tend to look backwards. If only I did that, and only I could have had that, I could have been happy with this, and I only I had that. So no. And to gain that kind of steadiness, one has to be internally very satisfied. And to become internally satisfied, we have to be with Krishna and Krishna's dear ones, Krishna's devotees. Sometimes it is said that love is only meant for Krishna, and that is certainly true, but that includes Krishna's devotees. And if we don't, Prabhupada told me this in Hong Kong in a very dramatic way. We were in the Hong Kong Hilton, and we're waiting for the elevator to come. And Prabhupada said, if you don't make, man is social. by nature. And if you don't make friendship with devotees, the elevator door is opened by the arrangement of the Hilton or the gods that control the Hilton. If you don't make friendship with the devotees because you are social by nature, in other words, unless we have affectionate relationship with the devotees, because we are social by nature, he said, Prabhupada said, then if you don't make friendship with the devotees, you will be forced to make friendship with non-devotees. And then Prabhupada got in the elevator. And then he said, and if you make friendship with non-devotees, you will not be able to follow the rules and regulations. And the elevator door started closing. And of course, somehow or another, we got in. Yes, very, very heavy, because we need to have friendship and affection. We need it. And we need to have close relationships with devotees, friendship with the devotees. And this will come out in quite an amazing way a little later. So he felt, Shrutadev felt, despite his being so poverty-stricken that he didn't even have enough grass mats in his house, he had to borrow them. He was still satisfied in his desires. He worshipped, Shrutadev worshipped the sages with offerings of auspicious items easily available to him. Fruits, usira root, which when put in water makes the water fragrant like musk. Pure nectarian water, fragrant clay, he offered for the washing so that they could wash their bodies with clay. And now that's such a luxury. Some wealthy person goes to some spa and they have mud packs and put it on them. But previously, or by the Ganga, everyone washed like this. So healthy. All the poisons are drawn out of the body. Kusha grass, tulsi leaves, he worshipped them. And lotus flowers. The king gave bulls and cows and this and that. And he can give a leaf, some kusa grass, auspicious, and a lotus flower and water, pure water. Then he offered them food that increases the mode of goodness, simple food, pure food. And he wondered, this is text 42, how is it that I, this is how he was thinking, not that, oh, I have been thinking of Krishna, and by my power of thought, I have brought him here. No. How is it that I, fallen into the blind well of family life, have been able to meet Lord Krishna? And how have I also been allowed to meet these great brahmanas who always carry the Lord within their hearts? Now, this point about the brahmanas and their fortune and meeting them is so fortunate, it is specifically because they always carry the Lord within their hearts. And this is what's going to be described in the next section. Because first, Krishna helped Arjuna. In the first section, Krishna helped Arjuna gain Subhadra as his wife. Krishna does the impossible. He'll do anything for his devotees. In the second section, Krishna with the sages traveled to Janakpur and he distributed his blessings, his mercy, as he so desired. He is completely independent. And he accomplished many things at the same time. He was visiting the king. He was visiting the sages. He was going to places he had never seen before. He was going to Braja and Uppercut Leela. He was letting people see him, and he was giving them the vision by his glance so that they could see him, actually see him. Because Kamsa also saw Krishna, but he didn't see him. And Kaliya also saw Krishna, but he didn't see him at all. So Krishna gave the bhakti by which everyone who saw him could actually see him. And then in the third section, which we read yesterday, Balasva spoke about how to see Krishna and how wonderful Krishna is, that he's the devotee of his devotees. And here, the devotees are being described, the ones who are always carrying Krishna in their hearts by the virtue of their devotion. They're thinking of him. They're dependent on him. They love him. And in the next section, and here this is Shrutadev speaking, in the next section, Krishna is going to speak seven verses. And this is the point that he's going to make. He's going to glorify the brahmanas, especially the brahmanas who carry Krishna in the heart. And why is he going to glorify them? Is because they can't give Krishna everywhere. Krishna is theirs. Just like he belongs to Bahulasva, just like he belongs to Shrutadev, and just like he cannot take a step out of Vrindavan because he is bound not by the rope of Mother Yashoda, but by the affection of Mother Yashoda. He is bound by the affection of his devotees. And who could give up his lotus feet after knowing that? So Shrutadev, so that's what the next section is going to be about. So he's saying, I'm so fortunate I have met these great Brahmins who always carry the Lord within their hearts. Indeed, the dust of their feet is the shelter of all holy places. The holy places take shelter of their lotus feet. And their blessings award Krishna. By serving the Mahat, Vasudeva Kataruchi, the taste that brings us, that purifies the heart and brings us to Krishna, is awarded. There is one lecture where Prabhupada talks about mechanical hearing. It is not, because we glorify the process of hearing, but it is not mechanical. And it's accompanied by seva, by devotional service, and then it brings its result. And, yes. So now, when his guests were seated comfortably, having each received the proper welcome, Shrutadev approached them and sat down nearby with his wife, his children, and other dependents. Then, while massaging the lotus feet, the Lord's lotus feet, he addressed Krishna and the sages. So he too had the benediction of massaging the lotus feet of Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he massaged the lotus feet of the sages. Now he's going to speak six verses. The king and the brahmana both attracted Krishna. The king's message was wonderful. It was appealing. It gave hope. And it gave the methodology, the method by which we can place Krishna in our heart and attract him to give us mercy, so that we can, which means his association, to be with him, his service. So what will the poor Brahmins speak about? Their external circumstances were completely different. Their internal circumstance, their mood was the same. What is he going to speak about? Something very similar. Please listen. But it is different, and it is very interesting what he will say. And Srila Jiva Goswami, or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says that before Krishna, before Shrutadev speaks, Krishna says to him, because Krishna is in the mood of a Kshatriya, a warrior, and Shrutadev is a Brahmin, so Krishna says to him, "It is my great fortune that I have seen you today." And Shrutadev's reply is this verse. "It is not that we have attained the audience of the Supreme Lord only today, for we in fact have been associating with him ever since he created this universe with his energies and then entered it in his transcendental form." So this point is astounding, actually. He's saying that we are already with Krishna. It is not just today that I'm having your association. It is every day, and not only in this life. As long as I have been in this world, I have been with you. Because without Krishna, there is no meaning to existence. Without Krishna, without the Supreme Lord supplying us air, which is his bina prakriti, his separated energy, we could not live. Just imagine if we had to even concentrate to breathe, and we had to remember to breathe. And then one day you're in so much anxiety and you had to do something, or you're really hungry or something like that. "Oh, I forgot to breathe." Like Satchinanda Maharaj was reminding us to breathe while we were doing that exercise. It's happening. The heart is beating. The air is coming and it's being exhaled. The blood is circulating. The germs are coming into the body, and they're being fought off by the antibodies. The cells are regenerating. The conceptual ability of the mind is giving us the ability to perceive form and recognize things. And we're not conscious of it at all. Who has organized this? The sun rising, etc. All these little arguments for the existence of the Supreme Lord that we are all familiar with. But it is true. We are associating with Krishna. He is the substance. Anvior Vyatirek. He knows everything directly because he is everything, and indirectly because he perceives everything. So we are always associating with him, Mama Angso Tejo Sambhava, because there is nothing separate from him, because he's the absolute truth. He's not only the Ishwara, the God, the controller, but he is the all-inclusive absolute truth that everything in existence rests upon, his energy. So we are always associating with him. So that's what he says. Shrutadev is saying that it is not that we have been associating with you only today, but in fact we've been associating with the Supreme Lord ever since this universe has been created, ever since I've been in existence, practically speaking. The Lord is like a sleeping person who creates a separate world in his imagination. A dreamer in his imagination creates a world, and then he enters into that world and sees himself within it. And he sees so many other people within it too. He sees so many other people just like Krishna sees us. And this is the point of his words, that Krishna is seeing us. But the other people in the dream aren't seeing the one who is the creator of the dream. That's the analogy. In other words, we've been associating with Krishna, And Krishna's been seeing us always. Upadrashtanamantacha. He is the overseer and the permitter. If he does not permit, my hand cannot rise. Don't doubt this is true. I think this is going on by my own strength, my desire. But if he takes away the ability, even we can think in terms of some kind of paralysis or imbalance of the airs, life airs, or we can think of just a few bugs enter our body and we become so weak that we cannot even lift our hand. It can happen. And it will happen at some point. We won't be able to move. So Krishna has been seeing us and permitting us. But our situation is that we don't see him. He sees us, but we don't see him. Now, how can we make a relationship out of that? A relationship requires two. He has to see us, and we have to see him, and we have to relate. If we, and this is the situation of a conditioned soul. I have to do this one in action. Krishna, Bhule, Sejeev. Say we're having a relationship. And suddenly, one of the persons in the relationship goes like this. And then there's no more relationship. And it feels funny, even though it's something somewhat staged. But when you turn your back to someone, it's insulting. And the relationship is broken. And that's what aparad, offense, means. It's insult. It's a breaking of the relationship. It's an insult. And therefore we're taught carefully to avoid aparad. But Krishna Bhule Se Jeeva Nadya Bahumukh specifically means that we turn our back on Krishna, but Krishna is facing us. And bhakti means to go from Bahumukh to Samukh, to turn around towards Krishna. So how to do that? He's already facing us. How to do that? So he's going to say just what Bahulasva said. He says in the 46th verse, you reveal yourself within the hearts of those persons of pure consciousness who constantly hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. You reveal yourself in the hearts. You actually come. Krishna, the all-powerful, all-beautiful Prince of Braja, comes to those within the hearts. He will come to the heart of those persons of pure consciousness. He won't come to those who have dirty consciousness, who constantly, note the word constantly, hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. In other words, pure devotees. Now this verse is very similar to the Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtayanto mam yejila yatantasya dvidavrata namashantasya mam bhaktya nityayoktu pasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Always, satatam kirtayanto mam, always chanting about me, because they are devotees. They are in love. There's this, if you've seen His Holiness Mukunda Maharaj's book, called Happiness on Second Avenue, Miracle on Second Avenue. There's this one very interesting and even it's peculiar, this little section where Prabhupada goes in, with Mukunda Maharaj goes with Srila Prabhupada into an office to, in San Francisco in 1967 to speak to some minor, very small government bureaucrat about getting Prabhupada a proper visa so he could stay in the United States and continue preaching. And this one little lady sitting in the office, very plain and ordinary, and she's not very responsive, and Mukunda's asking, how could you, and she's just saying, you fill out this form, how can Prabhupada get a visa? Fill out this form, he can apply, just do this. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, she says, she asks Prabhupada, how can you remember Krishna all the time? Did you read that? It was very, it was like, I don't know where that came from. But she asked Prabhupada out of nowhere, how can you remember Krishna all the time? It's very difficult. And Prabhupada answered, it was the 60s also, and Prabhupada answered in a wonderful way. He said, it is natural. Just like, would you consider, he asked her, would you consider coming out of your house without your clothes on? And she said, no. She wasn't a Nagababa. And Prabhupada said, it's that natural. That is the consciousness, the natural consciousness of a soul. And that was Prabhupada's natural consciousness. But for us, it's not quite as natural to always remember Krishna and not forget him. But this is the process. And it is the goal. It is both the process to try to remember Krishna by hearing about him, etc., to place Krishna in our consciousness, to become enraptured by him, become enchanted by his qualities, and therefore, and be engaged in his service, remembering all the time that we are serving him. Not just work, not just service, but seva, devotional service. It is meant for your pleasure, Krishna. So to this verse, Satatam kirtayanto mam yutantas chadvidhavrat, that with great vow, fixedness, they are constantly talking about me, thinking about me, worshipping me with devotion, nitya yukta upasate. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's comment is very instructive. He says, just as poor householders strive for money at the door of a wealthy man in order to support their families, my devotees seek out the assembly of devotees in order to obtain devotional processes like chanting. Well, that's what this is about. The Govardhan Retreat is very simple. It's that so many sincere devotees have come into the assembly of devotees to obtain the devotional processes like chanting and hearing, to engage in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, in the most holy place, in the association of devotees. And attaining that, they repeatedly recite the scriptures teaching bhakti. So they hear and then speak about what they have heard. So Shravanam, then Kirtanam. They have strict rules for themselves, thinking, I must do this number of rounds of chanting, this many obeisances, this much service. And they are dridhavrata, they are strict about that. They vow and they keep their promise. They also perform all the other processes of bhakti, such as hearing and serving the lotus feet, which are not mentioned in this verse. They desire to be in eternal association with me. And this desire is what is planted in the heart by the process of hearing about Krishna. If we don't hear about Krishna, you read that quotation where Prabhupada was talking about Mr. Harvey had gone to California, and please tell me about it. And then by hearing about what's going on, the desire, oh yes, I want to go there, by hearing about Krishna's beautiful pastimes and beautiful form and his sweet dealings with his devotees, the desire sprouts in our heart. But then there's the point about all the impurities in the heart. What happens to them? So that is described in the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And if you give me a moment, there it is. I think everyone, or most devotees, know this verse. Shinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtanam ridyanta sto. If we become desirous to hear Krishna katha, actually eager to associate with Krishna in that way, ridyanta sto yabhadrani, the abhadrani, the inauspiciousness in the heart. Bhadra means gentleman. And a gentleman is auspicious, and abhadrani is inauspiciousness in the heart. So Krishna himself, from within the heart, remember, he's there for each and every one of us forever. He's been there with us. He removes the inauspiciousness from within the heart. He himself cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge, the desire to hear his message. I'll read a little from Prabhupada's purport, very short paragraph. And these words of Prabhupada give us hope. Please listen. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. If we turn our back on Krishna, he doesn't reciprocate with us. He doesn't turn his back on us. But he doesn't reciprocate with us. Samoham savabhuteshu name dveshastina priya. He doesn't reciprocate with us because we don't want to reciprocate with him. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and this is the price, it is sincerity, simply being completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, that means here. The price is the same. It's sincerity. If a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, because this is the methodology, the channel that Krishna has offered, hearing and chanting. He said, if you want to gain my service, here is the door. It's open. I've performed these pastimes. I've come to this world. There's other reasons too. I want to be with my devotees. But to open a channel so that you can enter this channel, just like Varunadev had a channel where he took Nanda Maharaj to his realm, Krishna has made a channel, a transcendental channel that we can enter. And if we become eager to enter, to be with Krishna, we become eager to hear about him. Listen to what Prabhupada said. The Lord then acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. He did say easily. In other words, he helps. In other words, he extends his hand. In other words, he turns us around. In other words, he helps. He gives us his mercy. That's what I meant to say. In other words, he gives us his mercy. The Lord is more anxious to take us back to his kingdom than we can desire. Well, that is reassuring. But even, but Prabhupada didn't say he's more anxious than we desire. He said he's more anxious than we can desire. So even if our desire is a flame, he's still more anxious than that flaming desire to bring us to him. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. If the smallest spark is there, Krishna will help and fan it and fan it and fan it so that it will eventually blaze. He helps because he is always with us and he is always seeing us. Singing about me, going back to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, singing about me, they worship me, indicates that the singing, the chanting, and hearing are their forms of worship. So it's not like, okay, when is the kirtan over so I can do some service? Chanting and hearing is service. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam navanga bhakti. From the comment of Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan on that Satatam kirtayanto mam verse. At all times, without regard for purity of time and place, they glorify me. How sincere. They worship me by loudly chanting the sweet nectar of my names related to my auspicious qualities and activities such as Govinda and guess what other name he mentions here? Govardhana Dhari. Govinda and Govardhana Dhari. Chanting without consideration, yamasmaranena kala, without considering, is this the right place? Is this the right time? Lokabhaya, evam vratasa priyanama kirtya. This Mahaprabhu himself says is the perfection, the purpose, the sad, the essence of the Bhagavatam's teachings is to be so fully absorbed in Krishna Nam. In Krishna's holy names, that one is crying and calling out and falling to the ground and body horripilating and not caring. Not caring. And of course, we shouldn't imitate like crazy people. And Prabhupada didn't set that example. But this tidal wave of ecstasy, overwhelming tidal wave of relationship with Krishna, overwhelming one's ordinary mundane mind, is perfection. Going to temples that house my form, falling down like rods on the dusty earth, full of devotion, they worship me. So this is what Shrutadeva is saying here. You reveal yourself within the hearts of those persons of pure consciousness who constantly hear about you, constantly chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. So this is the perfection and the means for perfection as well. Because if we become eager, even if we don't have the capacity, but even have a drop of sincerity, Krishna will help more than we can desire. He will help. This is our path, and this is our hope, that we bring our little bit of ability into the relationship, and Krishna will bring his unlimited affection and capacity and intelligence into the relationship. Very hopeful. Because he's already there too. So he doesn't even have to travel from anywhere to get to us. Now, then he says, this is Shrutadeva again speaking, but although you reside within the heart, because the way to evoke his presence into our consciousness is not to change him or bring him into our consciousness, is just to clean our heart, clean the consciousness, and that means bhakti. Just to develop bhakti. And if we don't have bhakti, we won't see him. Even though he's everywhere, in everything, but we won't see him. And if we do have bhakti, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, we'll see him everywhere. So therefore, in the 47th verse, he says something very interesting. But although you reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by their entanglement in material work. Just involved in fruitive work and working to gain something that is the smoke of the material world, and their consciousness is focused with themselves as the enjoyer, as the center. And they can't see Krishna. They can't see Krishna. Because Krishna can be seen only with the eye of devotion. Because with that eye, he reveals himself. And if one has that eye, he can't remain covered. Just like at Paita. What's the proper pronunciation of that town? Paita. So there, just on the other side of Giriraj, there is a little town by Chandrasarova where the Rasa dance took place, or a Rasa dance took place. And there Krishna wanted to play a trick on the gopis and Srimati Radharani by disguising himself in a forearm form while they were looking for him. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when the gopis saw Krishna in the forearm form, they were not attracted to him as Krishna, even though he was Krishna in a forearm form. But they weren't attracted to that majestic aspect of Krishna. But they asked him, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where we can find Krishna? But when Srimati Radharani came, Krishna couldn't maintain his forearms. He was forced by the power of her. This is Ladini Shakti, Mahabhav. By her love, he couldn't even maintain his disguise. She forced him into the form of Krishna. Her love forced him because she loves Krishna. And Krishna was forced to reveal himself to her. Forced. He could not maintain his disguise, his forearms. So Krishna is the servant of the bhakti of his devotees. He reciprocates with it. And this is the methodology of seeing Krishna, the only methodology. In the last verse of this chapter, the word sun margam, will be used, Satmargam, that there are different paths of transcendence. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti sabyate. And if one is on the path of Gyan, Krishna will reveal himself as Brahman. Because one is using one's intelligence to perceive absoluteness, and you will perceive absoluteness by your intelligence. Mukti Dadami, what's that verse? Mukti Karoti Dadami Smana Bhakti Yogam. That Krishna will give mukti. Do you want to be free from all those pains and problems? He will give you freedom. No worries. And sometimes that is the motivating force that pushes us. I want to be free from all this trouble, anxiety, etc. He will give that mukti, but rarely he gives bhakti, because bhakti, and this is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, he rarely gives bhakti, sadurlabha. Bhava bhakti is sadurlabha, by which one comes in contact directly with Krishna's internal energy and Krishna by virtue of that internal energy. He rarely gives that. And Srila Rupa Goswami describes two reasons he rarely gives it. It's because it has to be performed with attachment to him. Not mechanically. It has to be performed on the platform of a shakti or attachment. Because by that, bhakti is so powerful that, as we were saying, that Krishna comes under the control of the devotee. It conquers the all-powerful Lord. It is so powerful. It makes Krishna dance for sweets, half of sweets. It makes Krishna kill Kamsa. Krishna was so furious at Kamsa because Kamsa had given so much trouble to Devaki and Vasudev. He was furious at him. He landed the whole universe on him. Some of our acharyas say when he grabbed him by his hair, he pulled out his life force just by that. Krishna was so angry at him, he didn't even realize how easy it was going to be to kill him. Just grabbed him by the hair. Because he had caused so much trouble to Vasudeva and Devaki, such an envious person, selfish person. He had false ego. He was selfish. And if you have false ego and selfish, you have to have envy. And how could one be happy if one has envy in the heart? Unless there is no one in existence who has more than I have. If there's no one to be envious of, if everyone has less than me, then I won't be envious of anyone. So that's the problem with an envious heart, is that you try to make everyone have less than you have. And everyone who has something that you don't have, it's like having a spear in the heart. Narottama Das Thakur says, so how can you be happy with a spear in your heart? False ego, pride. So, although you reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by their entanglement in material work. Indeed, no one can grasp you by his material powers, because only bhakti can grasp you. For you reveal yourself only in the hearts of those who have learned to appreciate your transcendental qualities. So how does one learn to appreciate Krishna's transcendental qualities? By hearing about them, just as has been said again and again by both Shrutadev and Bahulasva, for the king and for the poor man, the same process, hearing and chanting. And then he says, and there's only two more verses. Let me offer my obeisances to you, who are realized as the supreme soul who know the absolute truth. Whereas your form of time, in your form of time, you impose death upon the forgetful souls. You appear both in your causeless spiritual form and in the created form of this universe, thus simultaneously uncovering the eyes of your devotees and obstructing, covering the vision of the non-devotees. Simultaneously, the devotees see you, and while looking at the same thing, the non-devotees see something completely different, an element of the universe, which is your energy, but they can't see you because they are non-devotees, because you don't allow them to see you, because you cover their vision, maya javani katschanam, by the curtain of maya. And you won't lift that curtain, Krishna, except for your devotees, especially the curtain of Braja, because such intimate pastimes go on here. You don't. No one tells the intimate dealings, the most intimate dealings with their friends and family, the most intimate dealings. No one just like broadcasts that. You tell, maybe you tell one person, your dearest, dearest, dearest friend. You tell your deepest, deepest, deepest secrets. You don't broadcast it. Why do you tell only your dearest friend and not just everyone? Because you can trust your dearest friend that they won't take your deepest secret and suddenly it will turn into a knife in your back in some way or another, because they love you. They're their dearest friend. You trust them because they love you. That they're not going to turn around and exploit you. They're not going to take your kata and use it for their own fame and wealth. They're not going to do this. That's just for, because of love means a giving of the heart. And in reciprocation, you give your heart. And that's the love and trust that causes Krishna to lift the curtain of Braj. Just 2 days ago, I was taking a walk, and I saw there was this one area of Govardhan, and I wasn't wearing my glasses. So I saw there was sort of a lot of garbage, and there were blue plastic bags. There were pink plastic bags. There were little, the things, the little plastic containers that the betel nut is in. And there's just so much. There was so much just garbage on there. And then I wasn't wearing my glasses, but I saw there was something glowing. And I couldn't figure out, because the sun was setting, and I couldn't figure out if it was something catching the sun rays and it was glowing or what it was. So I put on my glasses and walked closer. And I saw in the midst of all this garbage in front of Giriraj, there was a ghee lamp burning as the sun was setting. In a little, what are they called? Deepak. In the little clay container. There was a ghee lamp there in the midst of all this garbage. And I thought, the person who lit that really has good vision. To see Giriraj in the midst of all this, it takes bhakti. It takes bhakti to see Giriraj in the midst of all the confusion. And that's tateinu kampam susumikshamano, which is the secret of being Krishna conscious. To see Krishna, Krishna's mercy in the midst of everything that's happening to us. Jivati om mukti pade sadayabak. And if one does that, one inherits the kingdom of God as naturally as the eldest son inherits the property of the father. If one can see amidst all everything, somehow Krishna is in there, and offer a ghee lamp to Krishna, make an offering of obeisances to Krishna, not just the hand moving, but with the words, with the body, with the heart, then jivatiyo mukti sade pade sadayavak. So this verse really struck me because it says that Krishna reveals and he covers. He reveals and he covers based on what? Based on my consciousness, which means that what I see, what I perceive, isn't exactly reality, even though I perceive it as if it is real, and I'm convinced that what I see is real and everyone else is wrong. People just don't, if they have a different opinion, it's just they don't see properly. But actually, what this verse is saying is that my vision of what I'm perceiving is just a reflection of Krishna reciprocating with my consciousness. That I'm not actually seeing the world, I'm seeing my own consciousness by Krishna's arrangement. Which is a very good way to see what your consciousness is like by just watching your mind and seeing what you perceive. So when I read this, I was very embarrassed. But I also thought of something else, which took away my embarrassment and filled me with happiness. And that was a pastime of Krishna's. When Krishna entered Mathura, brought by Akura, this boy who was from the village of Vrindavan, the first thing he wanted to do, he was with Balaram at that time and all the cowherd boys. The cowherd boys had gone with Nanda Maharaj, and they had been waiting for Krishna. They had just been waiting. They had gone a different route. And Krishna took a long time to get to Mathura because along the way, everyone stopped him, made an offering, talked to him a little bit, and looked at him, and he glanced at them and exchanged some sweet words with the Brijbasis. And the cowherd men and Nanda Maharaj had come by a more direct path. And Krishna met the cowherd boys. They parked their carts and everything outside the villa, outside of Mathura. And then Krishna wanted to see Mathura because he had lived his whole life in a village. And here was the big city. He wanted to see. And he wanted to be seen too. He wanted to be seen by the residents of Mathura. And he also wanted to be seen by Kamsa. So he went in a very light, joyful mood. And especially the ladies, everyone came out on the street because for two reasons, three reasons. One, they had heard about Krishna. They had heard he had done so many wonderful activities. They were so close, 8 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 12 kilometers away. They had heard about Krishna's beauty, about his pastimes, his dealings with his devotees. And they wanted to see him. They wanted to see beautiful Krishna. And also, they were thinking of him as the son of Vasudevan Devaki, the prince whom Kamsa had practically exiled all the Yadus. And now, Prince Krishna was returning. They came to the streets, and then especially the ladies. They were glorifying him. They were offering things, and the ladies just wanted to see him. And the description of how the ladies acted upon seeing Krishna was practically speaking just like the Braj Gopikas. When they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, they came running out. They dropped everything. They were feeding their babies. They put the babies down. They stopped cooking. They dressed themselves half. They put their dresses on their heads, one earring, everything, kajal, one eye. And they ran out and saw Krishna from the roofs of Mathura, because not like Vrindavan, Mathura had tall buildings. They threw flowers down on Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys. And then Krishna saw a rajak, a washerman, and a dyer of clothing, who was happened to be a servant of Kamsa. He was a servant of Kamsa who kept in prison the father of Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna was very polite when he spoke to him. And he said, please give... There were so many cowherd boys there. And he said, please give suitable garments for the two of us. Just two, Balaram and myself. After all, we're going to a big function tomorrow. A wrestling match. We've been invited to wrestle. And we're dressed like village boys. We want some nice clothing. And Krishna, he is an expert dresser. He is Nattabara, as we heard. He dresses so colorfully with his yellow dhoti and his red kumaband belts and dressing like this and his garlands. And he likes to dress like this. He likes to be the center of attention, and he dresses in that way. So Krishna very politely said, please, Dehi, please, polite form, please give suitable garments for the two of us who certainly deserve them. After all, we are, from your point of view even, we're the sons of Vasudev and Devaki, we're princes. If you grant this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit. If we give Krishna that which is pleasing to him, yes, we will get the greatest benefit. Even if it appears that by giving we are losing, we will get. So the arrogant servant of Kamsa, who a washerman is not considered the most highly aristocratic families in any city, he angrily replied in a very insulting way. Now, I've thought about this for years. He said, you impudent boys, you belong, Nityam Giri Vane Chara. You're always wandering in the forests and on the mountains, Giriraj, and you're asking, you're just village boys, and you're asking for the king's clothing? This is impudent, out of place. You dare to put on clothes like this? Krishna asked politely. These are the king's possessions you're asking for. Now, he says another thing to Krishna. And then what did Krishna do? He took his hand and cut off his head. He said no to Krishna. Now, for years I thought, okay, this is a very extreme action. Why did Krishna kill him just for that? He said no. Okay, he called him impudent for asking, village boy. But why did Krishna kill him? And then, just recently, I found out the answer. I discovered the answer. And because I know that you want to hear, I will read the verse where it is revealed. He said, Yatasu balishamayvam. Go, he said. Yata Ashu. Go quickly. Balisha. Balisha means fools. Not in the singular. He and Balaram were standing there. And he called both of them fools. That means he called Dauji a fool. And Krishna killed him immediately. Wonderful, yes? He's great. He's so... He is a devotee of those who love him. He called Balaram a fool. And Krishna cut off his head. Should I even read the rest of what he said? Oh. He threatened him. He said, don't beg like this if you want to stay alive. When someone is too bold, the king's men arrest him and kill him and take all his property. Oh. Krishna said, please give the two of us some clothes. He could have said, as I've heard His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj say, he could have said, I'd like to... spoken something sweetly, but I'm afraid that the king will give me some trouble if I do that. But instead, listen to how, and he called. Anyway, these were the last words he spoke. Merely with his fingertips, he cut the man's head from his body. And then all his assistants, who were quite intelligent, ran as fast as they could. And all the clothes were there, so Krishna and Balaram took the clothes that they wanted. And all the boys then took all the clothes they wanted. And this was in front of all the people. And this was a message to Kamsa. Your servant has been killed. Release Devaki and Vasudev now. Krishna was right in front of him. But the curtain of his arrogance was drawn completely, and he could not see. Then what happened next was Krishna went to a weaver or a tailor, and the tailor, on the other hand, was so happy to be able to render some service. He didn't care. Kamsa's city. And Kamsa was planning to kill. He didn't care. He made nice clothes because the wrestling match was going to take place. Krishna wanted to be dressed very nicely. So Krishna benedicted the tailor. And then next, when you're dressed properly, you have your proper clothes and you're Krishna, you need a nice garland. So then he saw the garland maker, Sudama, who immediately came out and gave Krishna not the old garlands, but the nicest, most choicest, best, fragrant, beautiful garland. And he put one on Balaram, but he put the best one on Krishna. And Krishna was so pleased with his devotion, and the Bhagavatam gives quite a bit of time to describing Krishna's interaction with the garland maker. And he said, whatever you want, you can have. Whatever you want, you can have. And the garland maker, who Krishna had benedicted because of his devotion, and because of his devotion, he saw Krishna. Krishna allowed him to see him because of his devotion. This is what he asked for. He chose unshakable devotion for Krishna. The first thing. Unshakable devotion. Friendship with his devotees, just like Prabhupada said to me. Without friendship of the devotees, we will not stand. Unshakable devotion, friendship with the devotees, and transcendental compassion. And compassion for all living entities. Devotion, friendship, and compassion. Now, interestingly enough, this exalted person prayed like this. And similarly, when Maharaj Prickett was about, before Sukadev Goswami came and all the brahmanas came, and Maharaj Prickett, he was soon to die, he asked them for a benediction. And this is what he asked him for. He said, offering obeisances again to all you Brahmins, I pray that if I should again take my birth in this material world, I will have complete attachment to Krishna. Unshakable devotion, complete attachment to Krishna. The same. Complete attachment to Krishna makes us unshakable, uncompromisable. Our attachments tend to be bahushaka, many breads. Yes to Krishna, but yes also to this thing and this material thing and this material thing and that and my fame and my name and my bank account. Attachment to Krishna, but because it's bahushaka, it won't be unshakable. At Maharaj Prickett, at this time, so close to his death, needed unshakable attachment. Because if anything will shake our attachment and fill us with fear, it is death. First thing he prayed for, complete attachment to Krishna. Second, association with his devotees. Friendship with the devotees. And third, friendly relations with all living living beings. So, very close, compassion, friendship. When you're a friend of people, you wish them well. Compassion means wishing well. Very interesting. Sudama asked for that very thing when confronted with Krishna. And he's praying to the devotees for the same thing. How wonderful. After leaving the Mali, the garland maker, he saw Kubja next. He had to be decorated perfectly because he's going to a public engagement. He's got his flashy clothes. He's got his garland. Now he has his, as we would call them, gopi dots. He's decorated beautifully and scented and fragrant. And he walks and he benedicts Trivakra Kubja. And later even visits her house. And she doesn't care. She doesn't care. She's a servant of Kamsa and everyone is watching. She's in love with Krishna. She surrenders completely to him. Then Krishna goes in. The next thing he does is breaks the bow meant for the sacrifice. He breaks it. And then with the bow's ends, he kills all the soldiers of Kamsa who are guarding the bow. They attack him. He kills them. They have no vision of who he is. Because they are servants of Kamsa, servants of wickedness, servants of Maya. Filled with selfishness, so they have no vision. And Kamsa hears the cracking of the bow, and his heart cracks. And he still won't release Vasudeva and Devaki. He still won't. Such a demon. Determined demon. So at least let us see the signs. Let us read the signs properly and hear and chant about Krishna's wonderful qualities. And I'll just read the last verse. I wanted to read about the wrestlers. Oh, that's wonderful, but there is no time. But then the final verse that Shrutadev said, his final prayer, very similar in a sense, really in essence to Shrutadev, to Bahulasva. He says, You are the Supreme Soul, O Lord, and we are your servants. How should we serve you? And this, Kim Karom Yaham, is the conclusion of all the prayers of a devotee. How can I serve you? How can I please you? What can I do for you? Because a devotee has placed Krishna in the center. Every single conditioned soul, no matter externally what they look like they're doing, they have themselves in the center. Hankara, Vamudama, bewildered by false ego. We imagine ourselves as the center and imagine that feeding this false sense of self, because we are really and only Krishna's servants and we can never be anything other than Krishna Nityadas. When we were in Barsana, we were talking to a different kind of Rajaki, that little girl whose name is from a washerman family, whose name is Radhika. When I said, we are all Nityadas, and she looked at me, and she moved her neck in a way that I can't even begin to imitate. Just like only those who are born in India, and those, especially the Brijbasis. And she said, when I said Nityadas, she said, Dasi. Do you remember that? And she could speak with her neck. So that's how it ends. The opposite of the materialists going to God, the opposite of the New Age people chanting Krishna's names for self-fulfillment or self-this. It ends for a devotee, for a soul with how, in Krishna consciousness, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? How can I please you? My Lord, simply seeing you puts an end to all the troubles of human life. I'm not going to ask for the end of troubles because that automatically happens. Just like when the sun rises, darkness goes. Please, what I want is to serve you. That's the end of his prayer and the end of the class. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Bahulasva Sritadev ki jai. Sri Krishna ki jai. Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.